Iran combat erodes U.S. drone capability as MQ-9 fleet drops to lowest levels. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650, the U.S. Air Force and hashtag X-27. SMQ-9 Reaper fleet has declined to approximately 135 aircraft, falling 54 aircraft short of the service and hashtag X-27. S established 189 aircraft minimum threshold due to combat attrition during Operation Epic Fury. A fully equipped MQ-9 Reaper with its sensor suite costs up to $50 million per aircraft, making the replacement of 54 lost drones cost approximately $2.7 billion before modernization expenses. Lieutenant General David Tabor stated on May 13, 2026, that despite fleet losses, the Air Force can still maintain 56 combat lines worldwide and is developing a cheaper, purpose-built successor designed for contested airspace. The U.S. Air Force's MQ-9 Reaper fleet has shrunk to roughly 135 aircraft after combat attrition during Operation Epic Fury, falling 54 aircraft short of the service's long-standing 189 aircraft floor and forcing the most consequential unmanned systems acquisition decision in more than a decade. Lieutenant General David Tabor told the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Airland on May 13, 2026, that the Air Force can still maintain its 56 combat lines worldwide despite the losses, but the service is simultaneously working to buy back lost aircraft and develop a cheaper, purpose-built successor designed for contested airspace. A full MQ-9 with its sensor suite costs up to $50 million per aircraft, according to Tabor's military deputy counterpart Major General Christopher Nimi. At that unit cost, replacing 54 aircraft alone carries a sticker price approaching $2.7 billion before any modernization premium. Key figure, a fully equipped MQ-9 Reaper with a complete sensor package costs up to $50 million per copy, according to Major General Christopher Nimi, military deputy for Air Force Futures. A modular, attritable successor would carry a significantly lower per unit cost, though no target price was disclosed. We are concerned about how they've attrited, and we're looking at options to buy back as many of the MQ-9 as we possibly can right now, Tabor told the subcommittee. The Air Force is working with the Department of Defense to fund that buyback within the current fiscal year. For institutional investors, the calculus is straightforward. The Air Force just validated, in combat, the strategic and financial case for affordable mass unmanned ISR. The question now is which industrial players capture the replacement contract, and whether the collaborative combat aircraft model, which the Air Force has explicitly named as the template, concentrates or distributes that revenue. From workhorse to write-off, how Epic Fury rewrote the drone calculus. The MQ-9 has been the Air Force's primary drone for surveillance and strike missions in U.S. Central Command for nearly two decades. It was designed for the uncontested skies of the post-9/11 counterterrorism era, a period in which adversary air defenses posed little threat to a slow, high-altitude aircraft. Operation Epic Fury changed that. The Iran conflict exposed in operational terms what Air Force planners had acknowledged in planning documents for years. The Reaper is vulnerable in a contested environment, and at $50 million per copy, losing multiple aircraft in a single campaign creates both an inventory crisis and a budget crisis simultaneously. Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota opened questioning at the May 13 hearing by citing the 189 aircraft floor directly, noting the current fleet sits roughly 54 aircraft below that threshold. Tabor declined to address the 189 figure but confirmed the attrition is driving acquisition action in real time. The Air Force shelved its last MQ-9 replacement effort, the MQ-X program, in 2012. A 2020 request for information generated market research but no acquisition program. The May 11 requirements document signed by NIMI and the April 14 RFI for an attritable ISR aircraft together represent the furthest the service has advanced toward a Reaper successor in more than 5 years. The attritable ISR RFI, speed, scale, and a 50-company response. The April 14 solicitation, titled Attritable ISR Aircraft, spells out requirements that define a fundamentally different aircraft than the Reaper. The Air Force seeks a threshold range of 200 kilometers from launch and recovery to the collection area, with an objective of 1,500 kilometers. Loiter time thresholds at 4 hours, with an objective of 20. The RFI states that industry production must be able to scale within months. More than 50 companies responded to that solicitation, according to Lieutenant General Luke Cropsey, military deputy for Air Force Acquisition. That response volume is commercially significant. It signals that the defense industrial base has been building capacity toward exactly this requirement, and that competition for the successor contract will be broad. NIMI framed the successor program around three design principles: modular open architecture, mass producibility using modern manufacturing technologies, and attritable economics, meaning a unit cost low enough that losing the aircraft is operationally and financially acceptable. The Reaper's sensor suite is the primary cost driver. A modular design that strips high-end packages for high-threat missions would drive the per-unit price to a level NIMI described as enabling use in a more attritable way, though no specific target cost was disclosed. The Air Force intends to follow the collaborative combat aircraft acquisition model, which narrowed a broad industry survey to two companies now delivering flying prototypes. That model, applied here, suggests a structured downselect process rather than a traditional winner-take-all award. Source: Air Force, Attritable ISR Aircraft RFI, April 14, 2026, as reported by Defense News. The Pentagon's broader affordable mass doctrine is accelerating capital flows. The MQ-9 fleet reduction does not exist in isolation. On the same day Tabor testified, the Pentagon announced framework agreements with Anduril, CoAspire, Leidos, and Zone 5 to establish the low-cost containerized munitions program, positioning the government to potentially acquire over 10,000 low-cost containerized missiles over 3 years starting in 2027. A separate agreement with Castalion targets a minimum annual purchase of 500 Blackbeard hypersonic strike missiles, with the Pentagon seeking authorizations to purchase over 12,000 Blackbeard missiles over 5 years. General Dan Kane, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, stated in written testimony this week that the Pentagon's fiscal year 2027 budget would fund over $26 billion for multi-year procurement contracts for critical munitions alone. Michael Duffy, Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment, described the LCCM agreements as evidence that the U.S. is moving beyond traditional prime contractors to expand the industrial base. Emil Michael, Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, said the agreements commit firms to on-time, on-cost delivery. The parallel is structural. Both the attritable ISR aircraft and the LCCM program reject the legacy model of exquisite, low-volume, high-cost platforms in favor of affordable mass at scale. This is not a tactical procurement shift. It is a doctrine change with a multi-year budget signature. Simultaneously, Baltic NATO members Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are preparing to spend approximately 12.2 billion euros, roughly $14 billion, in European Union-safe loans on weapons, equipment, and ammunition, with first contracts expected in coming weeks. Lithuanian President Gitanas Nausėda told the Dimex Baltic Conference on May 13 that industrial capacity is also battlefield capacity, and that Lithuania has already attracted Rheinmetall for regional ammunition production and KNDS for tank assembly and maintenance. The macro signal: in a single week in May 2026, the Pentagon committed over $26 billion in munitions procurement, announced a framework for 10,000-plus containerized missiles, opened competition for a new attritable drone, and Baltic allies signaled $14 billion in near-term arms purchases. The capital formation event is already underway. What the collaborative combat aircraft template means for industrial winners: the Air Force's explicit intention to follow the collaborative combat aircraft model for the attritable ISR successor carries precise implications for how revenue will concentrate. The CCA process surveyed industry broadly, then narrowed to two companies delivering flying prototypes. That structure favors manufacturers with existing unmanned systems platforms, open architecture software stacks, and demonstrated ability to scale production rapidly. Our view: the 50-plus company RFI response confirms that the addressable industrial base is wide, but the downselect will almost certainly favor firms that can demonstrate production scalability within months, not years. Established drone manufacturers with existing manufacturing infrastructure carry an inherent advantage over startups without production lines. The modular sensor architecture requirement simultaneously opens opportunities for sensor subsystem suppliers who can offer plug-and-play integration. The cost structure of the successor program also implies margin compression relative to the MQ-9 program of record. The Air Force is explicitly trying to move away from a $50 million unit cost. Firms that win on volume economics at lower per-unit prices will need scale to generate comparable absolute revenue. This mirrors the dynamic in the LCCM program, where Duffy's language about moving beyond traditional prime signals deliberate market share redistribution toward new entrants, including Anduril and Castalion, both of which lack the legacy cost structures of established defense contractors. The Plaquemium view: the market is pricing the attritable ISR aircraft competition as a straightforward drone procurement story. It is not. The MQ-9's attrition during Operation Epic Fury has done something that a decade of planning documents could not. It has created a political and operational forcing function for a fundamental redesign of how the Air Force fields unmanned ISR. The 189 aircraft floor that Sen. Kramer cited was not an aspirational number. It was the validated minimum for maintaining 56 combat lines. The fleet now sits 54 aircraft below that floor. The Air Force cannot absorb further attrition without degrading ISR coverage to combatant commanders. That creates two simultaneous procurement tracks with different time horizons and different beneficiaries. The near-term buyback of existing MQ-9 is a direct revenue event for General Atomics, the Reaper's manufacturer, though the volume and contract terms were not disclosed. The longer-term attritable successor is a new market creation event, and the CCA template suggests the Air Force will pay for two competing prototypes before making a production award. The second order play, the sensor subsystem supply chain. NIMI identified the sensor suite as the primary cost driver. A modular architecture that allows sensor packages to be swapped based on threat environment does not eliminate sensor demand. It redistributes it. High-end sensor suppliers face potential volume compression on the most exquisite packages. Mid-tier sensor manufacturers capable of producing capable but not exquisite systems at scale face a demand expansion. That distinction is not yet visible in equity positioning across the defense electronics sector. The Baltic $14 billion spend and the Pentagon's $26 billion munitions authorization are not separate stories. They are part of the same structural shift. NATO and its partners are spending to replace what has been consumed or will be consumed in high-intensity conflict. The industrial base that can scale, price for attrition, and integrate open architecture will capture a disproportionate share of that capital over the next 36 months. Institutional capital should be mapping exposure not to the legacy prime contractor model, but to the manufacturers building for the affordable mass doctrine that the Air Force has now formalized in two separate solicitations within a single month. The bottom line: the Air Force's MQ-9 fleet, reduced to 135 aircraft by combat losses in Iran, has generated the clearest procurement mandate in unmanned aviation in over a decade. The 54 aircraft gap below the 189 aircraft floor, a potential $2.7 billion replacement cost at current MQ-9 prices, a 50-plus company RFI response, and an explicit attritable successor program following the CCA acquisition model together define a capital formation event that institutional investors cannot treat as a routine defense procurement cycle. The defining variable is not whether the replacement program proceeds. It will. The variable is which industrial architecture, exquisite and scarce or modular and mass, defines the next generation of unmanned ISR. The Air Force answered that question on May 11, 2026, when NIMI signed the requirements document. The investment positioning that follows from that answer is not yet reflected in the market.